Hello, this is producer Ben, and if you enjoy listening to great Catholic content like this, then please consider supporting The Quest Atlanta, where we do our very best to make Catholic content that's engaging, thought-provoking, and spiritually fruitful. So if that sounds like the kind of content you want to listen to, then please consider going over to thequestatlanta.com and dropping a dollar or two in the old tip jar. Thanks so much, and keep on listening.
AM 1160 The Quest presents Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults.
Hello, this is producer Ben, and on this episode of Honest to God, we're talking to the Christ the King 20 and 30-something ministry about their mission and how they grow their community. Young adults all over are looking for somewhere they can find Catholic community, and today we're talking to a group that's trying to make a place for those young adults to thrive. Thanks for listening, and enjoy this episode of Honest to God. All right. Hello and welcome, everybody. You're listening to episode number 8,416 of Honest to God. That is not true, those of you who are looking. I don't know what episode number it is. We've been hard at work for the past 17 years doing this day in and day out, and we're happy to be here today. We've got a great show today. We've got the Christ the King 2030-something here. We're going to be talking about building community, how to totally destroy awesome community. You shouldn't do that. And we've got Rachel, Kathleen, Daniel, and Joe, and we're going to start off today in a prayer. Daniel, would you mind leading us?
Absolutely. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come into this place, give us the words with which to pray. Lord, please help guide our discussion today. Help us hit the conversation points that we need to get, talk about ministry, and help this message reach the people that it needs to reach. Help it ignite a fire inside of them and help build the community that you need to be built in this world. We ask this through the intercession of your Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
That was killer. Every time we have somebody who comes on and prays, I always do way better than any prayer I could do. Do you remember Tahir from the Byzantine?
Tahir did great. Dude, that was a fantastic prayer.
He put us all to shame. They're Byzantine Catholics, and they just rock it with all this stuff. Like, we got to pick up our game, like, liturgically, everything. And they're legit. They're Catholic as we are. But they just, I don't know. They
it's do the vibe. Yeah. It's the it purpose is. Of prayer, right? To put other people to shame, for it, sure.
Let me decrease so that you may increase. All right, so we have got Joe, Daniel, Kathleen, and Rachel. We're really excited to have you guys here today. We're going to get into what you're doing over at Christ the King, all the wonderful stuff you got going on, and just some advice on building community in this weird world that we live in right now, especially in the post-COVID everything, when I feel like our community, especially for young people, has kind of been shattered and thrown to the wind, and a lot of people are sort of desperate to find a place where they belong. So, but first, we're going to introduce everybody a little bit. We're going to do five things each, starting with Joe over there.
Well, hello, everybody. My name is Joe McDonald. I have been with Christ the King now for 8 years. And some fun facts about me. I am an avid Auburn football fan, although that is tough in these days. I also love aviation. Anything nice. Airplanes, flies. I am there. My eyes are always glued to the sky.
And you're wearing a Delta quarter zip right now.
I am. Yep. Yeah. Fly Delta. The Biscoffs are the best in the world.
not sponsored. Yeah.
I also really enjoy skiing. Fun fact about me is I will never turn down a mountain or a slope.
So the snow variety.
Snow variety. Okay. Yep.
Cool.
Yep. So I've been skiing since I was 3 years old. My favorite color is navy blue, which fits well with Delta and Auburn.
Right.
Absolutely. And my favorite restaurants to go to are hibachi restaurants.
Nice.
Yeah.
I dig it. I've been skiing one time. This is a true story. I went skiing on a mountain in Maryland, one of those fake mountains. You know, they manufacture the snow. My wife is from up there. And it was me and a group of like 20 people or so, including my wife's little brother, who is about 8. So there are a lot of little children there. I was maybe 20 at the time. And we had never skied before, so we had to go do the, hey, do you know how to ski thing? They're doing the whole French fry pizza thing. Yeah. And then we go down like the bunny slope and the instructor's like watching us. And at the end, he goes up and he says to everybody, all right, you're all good to go. You can go over to the family fun slope. You can start on the, I don't know all the diamond rankings, but the whatever the lower greens or blues or whatever it is, not double black diamond.
Right.
and he said, everybody except, and it was me and my 8-year-old brother-in-law. Oh. There were all these like 6-year-olds who were like gallivanting, just going up on the little lift things and everything. And I said, no, I'm a man. All right. I'm a man. I can leave the bunny slope. And I went on that family fun slope and my ski did fall off and I did fall down and I lost it. And I had to like do a walk of shame down the family fun slope.
Oh no.
Yeah. This episode of Honest to God is brought to you by the family fun slope and somewhere Maryland where I went skiing in 2008 or something. All right, Daniel, you're up, brother.
Solid. I also love skiing. That's not one of my fun facts, but, I'm Daniel Klusky. My 5 fun facts are, first, I was born and raised in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I graduated from Villanova in 2016, which was the year when they had the basketball national championship buzzer beater with Chris Jenkins. It was fantastic. I'm an Eagle Scout. I also gave a TED Talk while I was in college. And I'm a big fan of board games.
Dude, I love board games.
So
all about that board game life. Shout out to, well, I guess Coup's not a board game.
Oh, Coup's totally a board game.
Okay. Love Coup.
It's in a box.
We've done a lot of we've done a lot of cooing in our youth group.
Fantastic. Love Coup.
I played Coup actually once during Lent with somebody who had given up lying for Lent. And that was an interesting experience.
That's interesting.
Yeah, the way he had to like talk around what he was trying to say was fantastic.
It was wild. Hilarious. Yeah, well we get pretty deep into Coup. Lots of
it's very competitive.
Lots of, and it's, you're really encouraged not to do it as a per, like you're encouraged to make alliances and do all of these things. It's
fun. A good time.
So you said something, what was your third fun fact? Give me one of those fun facts.
Third fun fact, TED Talk.
Yeah. What was your TED Talk on?
Yeah. So I talked about self-handicapping, which is basically like putting obstacles in the way of your own success so that when you fail, it's not your fault. It's the fault of the obstacles. So you like never really achieve your full potential, but you also can kind of keep in the back of your mind like, well, you know, if those obstacles weren't there, I really could have accomplished like all of these other things that are really awesome. So it kind of like inhibits your success, but it's a self-defense mechanism. I kind of just talked about, you know, how pervasive that is and how unhealthy it really is.
I had a friend of mine who gave a very similar talk to a big group of high schoolers, but she called it poor me syndrome, which she abbreviated to PMS. And she had it up on this big screen as one of the things that's going to make your high school life difficult. I was like, what is that? Is that really? And while she's working through the other ones, and it's like, oh, got it. Okay. Okay. Got it. All right. That's great. Kathleen.
Yes. Okay. So I'm the coordinator for, my name's Kathleen. I'm the coordinator for the 2030 somethings. I've been in that role for almost 3 years now, which is insane. I got involved in CTK when I moved down here from Virginia in 2017. And other things about me, I really like hiking, camping. I'm outside almost every weekend in North Georgia. I pride myself in finding good fall foliage at this time of year. There's a fall foliage tracker online, which is very great.
Make sure you check out that. We'll include it in the show notes.
Yeah, exactly. Go find it.
Fall foliage trackers.
Other things. I love road tripping. I've like seen probably half of the states just by driving through them, around them, finding a place to stay, hike and camp there. And I have a wedding cake business and custom cake business that I run out of my home, which I've been doing since, mid-COVID. It became a hobby, and that became a more of like a little small business. So
I'm glad you brought that up, because behind the scenes, before we started, you came walking and balancing a wedding cake that's currently sitting in an office back behind me.
So. Yes. I have a delivery right after this. And so when Benny was asking me to schedule, actually, I was like, okay, well, I have this cake delivery, so I either have to deliver before or after. And so
that's great.
And after this.
That's awesome. And Rachel.
Yeah. So my name's Rachel Stoll. Kind of my fun five facts. I am an Atlanta native. There's not many of us.
No, you're not. Nobody's allowed to be from Atlanta.
Nobody. Nobody at all. I grew up in Sandy Springs right before it was incorporated.
That's cool.
So, okay. If you know St. Jude Catholic Church, grew up literally right behind it.
Did you go to St. Jude?
I did not. I did for like preschool, early preschool. But love St. Jude. That was my home parish growing up. I love to cook and make recipes. I actually went to culinary school for a hot minute, just like a semester and a half.
Nice.
But love to make recipes and share them with people. I have two older sisters, kind of fun fact, best friends. They're much older than me, but we have a great relationship. I can touch my elbows behind my back. That's sometimes a fun fact. Not a lot of people can do it. Yeah.
We trust you. You don't have to.
I know. I'll do it right now. Yeah. And then my fun fact, similar colors, but not like Angela from The Office, but my favorite color is gray. Like a solid gray.
Okay.
I know, it's a hot take.
No, that is a hot take.
It's a very hot take, but I find it a comforting color, almost. It's very comforting. And then another fun fact is I went to South Carolina. Go Gamecocks.
Okay.
We're also not doing too hot. That game
I saw
last
that game,
week.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, we're not going to talk about the UGA game. That was a little rough. But I have confidence in us this season.
Yeah, so. Awesome. Yeah, and if you're listening to this a couple months from now, We're recording this in late September, and there was recently a tragedy that took place.
It was a slaughter. I was proud South that we Carolina got at least Cox. A touchdown on the scoreboard, yeah, but
I was pulling for you guys. I'm actually not a UGA fan. I probably shouldn't air that out, but I was pulling.
Go
for
ahead,
you guys
go ahead. Say you're a Gamecock fan. Just admit
I
it
mean
out.
I'm not, but I'll say it if it'll make the interview for that. Shout out to the real USC. Yes. Up in Carolina. All right.
Yeah.
That's fantastic, guys. So we're excited to have y'all all here today. We've also got another member, right, of Christ the King 2030-somethings. So we got Benedict taking notes today. Benedict, are you ready to sing the Golden Girls theme song for us? Or you?
No.
Okay. All right. We were promised at one point that Benedict would sing the Golden Girls theme song. Can we throw out like if we get a certain number of views or subscribers, downloads?
It's a sacrifice I'm willing to make. It's for a good cause, so yes.
All right, give us a number. Like a feasible one, not a million or anything.
Oh, well, 161.
161. All right, 161 subscribers. So wait, what do we have to get for Ben to shave his legs with a Zelda sword on camera?
122.
122. Bump those up, guys. Yes, we need that to happen. We're taking a sort of countercultural approach to trying to grow a subscriber base on Honest to God. So we are not here to talk about Golden Girls. We're not here to talk about Ben's legs, even though it'd be great to do an hour on that maybe next week. But we are here to talk about what you guys are doing down at Christ the King, that apostolate. Do you call it an apostolate? Do you call it a ministry? What's
the ministry? I think is like the official term in the parish.
Okay, cool. So, and you did you say you're in charge, Kathleen?
I am. Yeah.
Can you speak a little bit to what it is? I mean, I know that it is a amalgamation of 2030 somethings doing something, but what is it? What's the goal? What's the mission?
Yeah. So our mission is to provide a space, a community for young adults in the church. It's a group that's often overlooked in like parish ministry, because there's a lot of ministry for youth, for high schoolers, there's a lot of college ministry, and then there's a lot of like young married, young families ministry, and then after that. And so there's like this weird space of like, I graduated college, I'm a young professional, and I don't like have a family in the suburbs yet. And so that like in between space where we are all still part of the church, and we still have gifts to give, and we still have people to connect with, we want to provide a space to that. So our mission is to like piggybacking off the cathedral's mission, which is to help the parishioners know, love, and serve our Lord. Our mission is the same, help young adults know, love, and serve our Lord through community and prayer.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I've talked to who are seniors in college or recent graduates from college who are sort of despairing, right? They're saying, I've kind of aged out, right? I've aged out and I'm not engaged. You know, I graduated from Franciscan University, and Ring by Spring was like a real thing. You had a lot of people who were like a lot of tears on the last day of school of, oh my goodness, I'm not married. And which means now I just live this life of destitute loneliness or something. There was this horrible like existential dread coming from these people. And that is not necessarily true at all. Right.
No. And the thing is, everybody's looking for it. Like there's like, especially in a city like Atlanta, where there's so many young people, like everybody's looking for friends. Nobody doesn't want people. Like we are like, people are meant for community. And so it's great to show like, oh, there's like people in the church too, to grow in your faith with, and to like hold each other accountable with, like looking for those like really deep, solid friendships.
Absolutely. So from those of you who are not leading the thing but are heavily involved in it, how about you tell us why you got involved with to begin with, and then what your experience has been now that you're there.
Yeah, so I got involved with CTK 2030s about a year ago, no, maybe even more now, a year and a half. And I serve as kind of the co-social chair on the leadership team, but I found us through Facebook, quite honestly.
Okay.
There was a trivia night, and there was a couple of other events that I got invited to, mm-hmm. just by chance. And that really kind of started my pursuit of living in this community of like community of faith and ministry and friendship. And it's been great so far. And we really have an outreach on social media because you can find us on Facebook, our website. We send out newsletters.
And we'll include those in the show notes, too, if anybody's listening and interested.
That would be great. And I definitely was in that experience where you graduate from college and you just don't know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's like I'm moving. I'm going to a big city. Well, for me, moving back home.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Moving more in the city. I don't really know anybody. And just it was a great experience just to say, hey, I got invited to this thing. I'm just gonna have the courage to show up even though I don't know anybody.
Cool.
And now I have all these friends. So it's a great outreach, really.
That's awesome. What about you guys? Joe, Daniel.
Yeah, I mean, Joe, I've been part of the ministry for about 6 years. Joe's got me beat by a year or two here, so I'm gonna pass it over to him, I think.
Well, so I'm kind of like with Rachel, you know, you graduate from college, I moved to Noonan.
Shout out to Sprayberry Barbecue.
Yeah, yeah.
We know the owners pretty well. My family and I are close
best barbecue
friends.
In Noonan.
Yeah.
Doing a lot of shout outs on this show, but
this show is also sponsored by Sprayberry's Barbecue in Newman, Georgia. Check them out.
The show notes are going to be so long. Not sponsored.
Thanks, Benedict. You're killing it, brother.
But no, I'm a lot like Rachel. Yeah, I moved to Noonan and I had after college and. You know, I was like, oh, that's a big city. It's scary. It's I don't, you know what I'm doing. But there was no community there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I came up to a 2030s event and went to one of our PAC Cathedral nights, mm-hmm. which at the time was PAC the Chapel until we broke fire code.
Nice.
And then nice. But yeah, and I knew nobody. Mm-hmm. And I instantly met like 20, 30 people. And my lease was up in 2 weeks. And I said... I'm out.
Oh,
and
that's so great. You moved closer,
and so
right?
I moved from Noonan to Buckhead. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where my community journey with this group started. And haven't looked back. It's opened up a ton of doors in my life. I've met some of the most incredible people here in Atlanta. And really looking forward to seeing what continues with those friendships and with this group. And what's in the future.
No, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I've got a very similar story to most folks. I think what's different on my end is that so I was born and raised in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, went to school in Philadelphia, and then somehow ended up with a job in Atlanta. I have no family, no friends in Atlanta. So I moved down, lived in a studio apartment, and literally knew nobody in the city.
Sure.
Right. So that first year that I was here was definitely a bit of a blur. Of like what's going on, trying to get my feet under me. And it took me a long time to really recognize like how significant this ministry was. Because I would attend events. I would go to PAC the Cathedral. I would go to the discipleship nights, things like that. But just having something that was regular mm-hmm. and always there, I didn't really see the 20s, 30s ministry as like a core part of my social network,
right?
For a while, but looking back on it, having that consistent, there's always a group of people that I can go back to, is really fantastic. So that was kind of why, I guess, a little over a year ago, I decided to get involved on the leadership team and start coordinating the service events. Just because this is a ministry that's done so much for me,
right.
that I really kind of want to pay it forward and help other people have that same experience.
So it sounds like a lot of what you're doing is face-to-face, in-person events to build up community in a real way. We talk about authenticity a lot on this show, and there's absolutely something that's lost when a lot of people talk about how they're part of a community, but they're really talking about their community online or the groups that they're following on like Reddit or something, right? As opposed to actual real life face-to-face community. So is the mission overall of the Christ the King 2030 somethings, is the mission primarily building and maintaining community? Is that the idea?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. In the faith in the church. But yes, absolutely. I mean, that's also, we like put a survey out every year and kind of see why people come to our stuff.
I'm super interested about that survey.
Yeah. The main reason, like there's a lot of different things, but all of our different events, but the big thing is like, why are you here? Like, what are you looking for? And in different words, community, like friendships, community, people. Like there being in your 20s is very isolating, no matter where you are, if you're near family, if you're not, if you're in a relationship, if you're not, if you're in a new job. I mean, almost everyone's in a new job in their 20s and early 30s. And so it's a very isolating time of your life, but there's like a lot of people that are in that same situation. And so it doesn't have to be, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. I think something that's really unique and important, at least about our group, is that within the leadership team, we make sure that we have different supports for different groups, right? So like, you know, Daniel, he's on service. So he makes sure that he has events for people that are interested in volunteering in the community. We have social, right? I'm a co-social chair. We make sure that there's people that want to come. It's more a social aspect, right? Definitely right. With people in the faith, in the community. But like tonight in September, right, we're doing a movie night tonight with popcorn and drinks, and it's a fun time. We've mentioned Pack the Cathedral. That's a holy hour. So there's different kind of segments and themes of our group. So whether, you know, you're looking more for a spiritual relationship or a community-based relationship, it's all with people, you know, seeking the Lord in a fun and community-based way.
Yeah. And I would say, like, to piggyback off that, a lot of people come looking for community, but there's a big gap in the church for like faith formation for young adults too.
Yep.
And so we're like, great, you're here for community, but like, let's also give you like more to dive into with our Lord.
Yeah. I always say when I'm working with college ministries or whatever, that I'm trying to make sure that you have fun and that you like me so that I can trick you into loving Jesus, right? That's the idea. It is important. But I was going to say, I love that you're not neglecting the communal aspect, because a lot of times you'll see things that are a little too heavy-handed from a theological standpoint. And obviously the end-all be-all of our existence is salvation. Obviously that's the priority. That being said, when you bring a whole bunch of people in and the conversation becomes just nothing but discussing the Second Council of Constantinople or arguing about diocesan politics or, you know, somebody talking about why they don't like the Pope or something like that, all of a sudden you really wear thin, and we're neglecting a really important part of us, that is that desire to connect with other human beings. And so there is so much good that comes out of a movie night or a beach retreat or something like that. That's just, hey guys, we're here to have fun and be around other people who love Jesus and are working towards the same goal.
And I think it's so great that we have like those different aspects of the ministry, right? Because I have people who will come to the service events, but they're like, yeah, you know, I'm not really interested in the social events. Or people who come to the social events who, you know, like, or only come to discipleship nights. And that's sort of like what they're most interested in, but they're interacting with people there. And, you know, maybe there's like, maybe that is all that they come to, you know, and that's totally fine. But maybe they get an invite from one of their friends and they're like, hey, well, you can also go to this other event that we're going to next week. And you kind of get drawn deeper into this community of people who are just all trying to grow closer to God.
Right.
And building that community kind of. Yeah, I like the way that you say tricking people into doing that. Like, it's not malicious,
right?
But you know, there is a certain degree of like, you know, we get you on the service event because you really like that, and then would you like to come to these other events?
More hooks in them. Yeah. Last episode, I read a quote by C.S. Lewis, and the quote was about masturbation and pornography, actually, but the whole crux of the quote was this idea that a big part of becoming adults, he's talking about men in particular, but it applies to women, of becoming our authentic adult selves, is coming out of this prison that is a safe place and sort of this insular place where we're looking in on ourselves a lot instead of out at others, right? And how dangerous that is. And I think that that's only become more exacerbated in the 21st century with technology and everything, because it's so much easier to be insular. It's so much easier to sit in your apartment and binge watch Parks and Rec than it is to go out and physically get to a place and be around people, especially when you're brand new to a city, especially when you don't know anybody. I can just sit at home and go I don't know, online or play Red Dead Redemption 2 or something in my apartment. And nothing wrong with Red Dead Redemption 2, but I'm just saying, yeah, how do you overcome that?
Also
yeah.
sponsoring this episode.
Well, I would say that it reflects very much the desire and need for community, because people just come, they show up, because like, especially like right after COVID, when everything was online and everything was closed off and everyone's very isolated, we saw such a surge of people coming to the ministry that maybe hadn't before, or had like once or twice in the past like 5 years. And they're like recognizing the need for other people and the need for accountability and community, the need for that. And so people like would show up, you know? And so just kind of like Daniel said, like being there consistently and being always like, I know that this is always gonna happen. We have like 5 events every month minimum. And then we also have like other small things like dinner groups and prayer partners. And well, we don't have prayer partners right now. We have dinner groups and we have coffee club and we have other like small things too. And just have that like constant fallback of like, like the comfort of knowing that they can go. But also I think like, especially with COVID, there was like definitely a big shift of like, people wanted to come in person. We had like a lot of options of like, you can do online or in person. People like, they're like, people recognize the importance of that
during COVID or after COVID. What are
right
you saying?
After.
How did COVID affect you guys? Like what happened down there?
we didn't shut down. We just switched virtual. Mm-hmm. It was definitely, we're all like millennials and I guess Gen Z too. And
are you the youngest young adult in the room right now?
Yep, I am. I'm a solid 23 young one.
I don't know. How old are you, Joe?
I'm 32.
32. Okay. So I am still the oldest young adult in the room. I'm excited about that. 33. 89, baby. Were you born in the
90s? I'm a 90, baby.
Nice. Yeah. You missed the 80s, man. They were great. Those 5 months. I remember the jean jackets and bandanas. Yeah. It was killer. It was great. All right, guys. So we are about to take a break.
More of Honest to God is coming up on AM 1160, The Quest.
Let's see, I have Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, and Paramount Plus, Spotify, and Apple Music.
Is that all?
Oh, and HBO Max.
There's nothing wrong with having streaming service subscriptions, but is it helping to bring you and others closer to Christ? Consider making the cost of one of those services to be your monthly donation to The Quest. We're totally listener-supported. We rely on donations from people like you.
And SiriusXM. Too.
Please, prayerfully consider making a monthly donation to support AM 1160 The Quest.
And now back to Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.
Pumped to be here with the Christ the King 20 and 30-somethings leadership group. Thanks again, guys, for being here today. Last time, which was about 17 minutes ago, we talked a lot about what you guys are doing and the importance of community, particularly amongst young adults once they sort of aged out of those high school and college ministries. But I'm really curious because I know that the Christ the King 20, 30 somethings group is I would say incredibly successful. Don't let me, toot your horn for you. But you don't have to toot your own. My mother used to always say, he who tooteth his own horn, the same shall not be tooteth. Every time I would brag on myself. So I'll brag on you for you. But I would like to talk a little bit about coming in from the ground floor and how you build something like this, because this is AM radio. I'm sure Ben could give us Spotify stats from every continent on earth, probably. There's almost definitely guys right now in Antarctic research stations listening to this show.
Yes.
And if they, maybe not the ones in Antarctica in particular, but if I am a 20, 30 something who is realizing the things that we're talking about, that there's not that many ministry or there's not a ministry around that is in tune to me and what I need, what are your recommendations on how you would build that, what that would look like, what to do and what not to do in a big way?
Yeah. Well, I want to, I guess, start by answering that by saying that we, at least those of us at this table, have been very lucky to kind of have received something that was already built.
Okay.
Joe was on leadership team a while ago, but closer to the beginning of the 20s, 30s group at the cathedral, which like as it is now, has probably been about like 10 or 12 years, the rebrand of the 20s, 30s instead of the young adults or whatever. But I think that we've received a lot of it. So that's been like really big. And so just kind of following in the footsteps have already been laid out for us. But Rachel, would you like, I think what you were like, you have like a lot of insight on like outreach and like the welcoming aspect and like how to gather other people
in the same mindset. Because if you're feeling that way, if you're feeling like lonely and left out and mm-hmm. like that you don't find a space, like someone else is also feeling that way. So like, sure. how do you find the people that are like that?
Yeah, I really do. I'm really passionate about outreach. That's why I'm one of the reasons I chose and was, you know, elected for co-social chair, right? Mm-hmm. I think that something that's unique to our group when building a group, building a young adult ministry, 20s, 30s, is making sure that you are creating a space where people feel welcome, right? Whether you're coming back to the church, you're new to the church, right? You haven't even heard of the Catholic Church, but a friend is dragging you along, right? Is making sure the first person you see, whether it's on leadership team or volunteers, they're smiling at you.
Sure.
You know, right. As simple as that. Like it's not that complicated, but it's something that we place an emphasis on mm-hmm. in our group of we have greeters. We have signs outside in the grass that point you exactly where you need to go. So okay. you're not in the parking lot saying, I've never been to this church. I don't know where I'm going. Mm-hmm. Right. So making sure people feel comfortable, people feel welcome. Right. And that they sense and feel that sense of community.
So at that point, you've already got them showing up. They've already made the drive. They're at the church. They're wherever you're meeting and they're walking in. Let's go back a step further. How do you get them interested in going to begin with?
I think our Facebook, really, we meant to touched on social media a little bit before. Right. But we have a really wide reach on Facebook. What we do is whenever we post an event, right, volunteer, social, a holy hour, a discipleship night, right, we invite each person really like 20 people at a time. There's 17 mm-hmm. people on leadership team. Each of us invite about 20.
Okay.
Yeah, like personal Facebook invites, like sending like the invites. And so that way they get a personal notification that Kathleen invited you to this event.
Right.
Yeah.
So I will say even more than just like a personal Facebook invite, I know Kathleen will often challenge us and say like, hey, our numbers are a little bit low on this. Make sure everybody texts 10 people because that reach out of like, oh, I didn't just get, you know, Daniel selected his 200 people that he invites to service events mm-hmm. and sends out an invite. It was like Daniel texted me and said, you know, hey, Carter, we've got this event coming up on Saturday. It would be really great if you could show up. We're going to be going to clean Oakland Cemetery or whatever. Right. Because then there's that personal connection of like, oh, wow, this person took the time to reach out to me.
Right. Then it's a reminder that you see me as a person and not as part of a demographic group that I'm trying to attract to this event.
Exactly. Yeah. And great. I think part of that is we have larger events and smaller events, right? Smaller events, you're definitely able to build more of that personal one-on-one relationship. And even just for an example, we have an event tonight. Right. I got a text from one of our leadership team members and they said, hey, there's this new person. She wants to join CTK 20s, 30s. She's never been. Can you just look out for her and make her feel welcome tonight?
Right.
Right. And that's just because we have such a large, it's a blessing. We have such a large leadership team that we're able to support those people who maybe are a little lost, never been. We can text each other and said, hey, look out for so-and-so.
Well, I just want people to hear it right now. And you guys can back me up because I've been involved in ministry at different levels. When you show up at one of these things and you don't know anybody and the person walks up to you and is trying to get you involved, one thing you're absolutely not is a burden. You're not a burden. They're not upset that they have to, you know, quote unquote, babysit you or something. They're really excited that you're there.
Oh, yeah.
And I've talked to a lot of people who have said, well, it just feels like kind of fake or manufactured. Somebody walks up and they're really friendly. And I understand why, you know, I struggle with that, I think, a little bit of like, I really don't want to be a burden. I really don't want people to be bothered by me. I understand why you might feel that way, but that's a lie. That is literally a lie from the devil. Don't buy into that garbage. Go and talk to people.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I think that when you're meeting people at events, there's some people that are gonna be more outgoing than others. Some mm-hmm. people that's gonna be a lot harder for, and just walking in the door itself is like a huge, huge win.
Right.
And I've been in stages of my life where that's happened. So I definitely understand people mm-hmm. don't believe that now, but that's like, that's really, really hard to do. And so like talking to someone and with just the goal of like, I'm going to talk to one person today
right.
and we don't have to be best friends, you know, mm-hmm. like, cause I think sometimes we put the pressure of like, I'm going to meet my people on night one, you know, and just showing up and just trying, like, let's just like show up with an open mind, you know, and like be willing to talk to the person in front of you and willing to like
totally
give a little bit of yourself when you're also trying to receive from the community.
Well, and there's always the big temptation to self-isolate, going back to phones and everything. It's so easy. And I'm totally guilty of this, right? I'm in a room. I'm uncomfortable. I don't know anybody here. I'm starting to get really self-conscious and second guess my decision. Oh, you know what? I'm just going to stand on the phone or in the corner and get on my phone and nobody's going to bother me because they're going to see that I'm busy and it might be something very important. And that's a lie and it's dumb. And you're whoever you are. I don't know who you are right now. Maybe you are at a research station in Antarctica, but you're better than that. Don't do that. So I'm super curious. That being said, this sort of being teed up, how did you guys individually find out about this? How did you find out about the CTK 2030 somethings?
So back in 2014. I was looking for community, and I was saw in the church bulletin when I was living in Noonan that they had a young adult group, and I went, and it was like three people. So okay. I was like, wow, there's got to be something more out there.
Right.
So I just started, you know, looking in the city, and I saw CTK, never heard of CTK, and saw that they had a young adult ministry, and that they were having an adoration night. And back then, the 2030's presence wasn't as big on like Facebook and Instagram, sure, what have you. So I think the technology piece would have been very helpful back then. So I found out about it in a bulletin. And,
okay.
And
it's old school. Decided,
yeah, like jump that. In. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
What about you, Daniel?
Yeah. So I think it was mainly a matter of, you know, I'm sure I found out through Facebook or emails, but when I first moved to Atlanta, I tried to join a choir. Mm-hmm. So I went around, I mean, the first month I was in Atlanta, I think I was going to like two or three masses every Sunday,
sure,
just to like suss out the choirs and be like, all right, where do we want to go?
Right.
So I'd been to CTK a couple times, got the bulletin, started to meet some people, but then it was really just like seeing those people at like other events. So like all the things that I would go to, it would be like, oh wait, hey, that's that person from CTK. And like, you kind of start to see friendly faces.
Okay.
And it just became like a welcoming atmosphere that I could go back to. And it was like, okay, maybe my best friends aren't going to be here, but I'm going to know like 5+ people,
right,
at any event that I go to.
At the very least, yeah, at the very least, you've got those backup people, the kind of people that you see when you're like at a wedding of a distant relative or something, and like, oh my goodness, okay, good, cousin, whoever's here, like, we know each other well enough for me to go talk to them and have a, you know, have like an accountability, like, of awkwardness partner.
Yeah.
And what about you? You've been there for a while, like, you're, yeah, in charge, but I assume there was a time in your life when you weren't there.
Yeah, I moved here in beginning of 2017, and I also didn't know anyone, didn't have any community, and I didn't have a job, and so I couldn't find community there. So I was going, like, kind of like Daniel said, like church hopping, like, where can I, mm-hmm, find my people? And for CTK, actually, before I moved down here, I had a friend, someone had told me, they're like, oh, the cathedral is like a big group of young adults in Atlanta. So I messaged the archdiocese and they directed me there. So I messaged the CTK group on Facebook and I was like, hey, like, I'm interested in getting involved. And I never got a response back. Like, it was, mm-hmm, just like crickets. And it's funny now because like when I joined team, I was like doing communications and social media, and I pulled it up and I like saw that like message that no one responded to from me. And I was like, awkward, nice. That's fine.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'm really glad that I wasn't like deterred by that. I've also been to a different ministry events where you show up and they're like, this is a great event. And then nobody from the ministry is there.
Mm-hmm.
You reach out afterwards. You're like, hey, I like showed up and I like put myself there out there and I like came to this event. I didn't know anyone and no one was there.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. And so thankfully that wasn't the case at CTK. Like when I actually got myself over there, I guess I knew about it coming down to Atlanta. And so I was like, even though I didn't hear a response on Facebook, I'm just going to go. And yeah, like thankfully, kind of what Rachel was talking about earlier, the outreach piece, people were very welcoming and like, we're due dinner after mass every Sunday. Like when we were smaller, we would do that.
I literally think that that is the key to everything, is just being outgoing and being, and if those are your gifts, awesome. And if they're not your gifts, it doesn't mean you're not allowed to be friendly and go up and like push yourself a little bit. That's okay.
Yeah. I would counter that a little bit, because you said the key is being outgoing, and that isolates all the people,
right,
that are not outgoing.
That's fair. That's fair.
But like you have to, but there's
making
a certain level
effort to be outgoing. Yes. How's that?
At least, yeah, you have to be like, I was talking to my introverted roommate about this. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you have to be outgoing for this much time so you can find your people,
right,
who are all introverted too, you know, like,
and then
you can
all sit around in silence.
Yes.
And,
yeah. But you have to meet them.
But seriously, I was having a conversation with a with an alumni from my high school the other day, and I said, you know what I really appreciate about you, and you know, they said, what? And I said, when I see you, I can walk over to you and have a conversation, and then when I realize the conversation is over, I can still stand beside you and it not be weird. Like, us not have to feel like we have to constantly bring up something. We're not able to do that on the radio. So Rachel, why don't you tell me about how you found out about this as the youngest young adult?
Yeah, as the youngest young adult, I actually knew about CTK's 2030s a while ago. One of my older sisters that I mentioned earlier was in the CTK's 2030s about 6 years ago. So for a hot minute, she was in it for like 6 or 7 months before she moved to another area. Yeah. But when I graduated, of course, similar to these guys, right? Moved into downtown Atlanta, didn't have a community, didn't have a ministry, was looking for something, joined a couple other things. So I was like, you know, sports clubs, stuff like that. And I just didn't really feel at home, right? Mm-hmm. And then I got invited on Facebook to a couple of events. My first official was our Pack the Cathedral. We've mentioned it a couple times. Mm-hmm. I think it's our biggest event each month. And it's one we really want people to go to because it's adoration. It's a holy hour.
Awesome.
And what really got me was it was a perfect combination of holy hour and then pizza afterwards. Mm-hmm. And if you offer me pizza, I will be arriving at any event that you have.
Free food is another key.
Well, it isn't free. Like we go to Fellini's. But
our budget is almost zero.
So. Okay. Yes, very low budget. But it was the fact, you know, we're all walking together across the street. Right. We're in downtown. We just had a holy hour in confession. I'm like, this is the holiest I've ever been. Awesome. And then we're getting Fellini's afterwards.
Yeah.
And there were greeters. Like, it was definitely my first event where somebody invited me on Facebook, mutual friend of a friend of a friend.
Right.
And that's how I got started. And it's been a year and a half and I've been loving it.
So if somebody can give me one or two big pieces of advice for somebody who is not in Atlanta, you're not trying to get them to go, you're not trying to get them to bring them into your ministry, right? But they're in this age in life, they've graduated college and they're kind of, they don't know where they're going. They don't know, they're not part of a good, authentic community. They're seeing friends get married. They're seeing friends go and build these lives, all right, but they're starting a career and they're alone in a new city or whatever. What is your advice to them if they want to be involved in a Catholic community?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think that we also kind of experienced that a little bit with people who are like out in Lawrenceville or down in Macon. And they're like, you have a great group. We're going to come all the way up here. I'm like, you should not have your sustainable community an hour and a half from you. Right. Like, if you can help it. Obviously, you can't always help it. But I think the first thing I'd say, like, go to your church and see what's there. Mm-hmm. Even if there's not a young adult ministry, there could be young adults. There probably are young adults involved in other ministries at the parish. Right. Like Life Teen or, religious education or, like, Holy Hour. There's, like, other ministries at your parish. Right. And then you can start meeting people at those ministries. Mm-hmm. So if you feel ready to like talk to the priest and like, I want to like start gathering people. And because I think if you do put yourself out there and say like, I'm interested in this, other people will start to also be interested. But that's not, everyone's not going to have the charism to do that. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Like, I would just say like, get involved. Every parish has a lot of ministries, no matter what size the parish is. There is like other stuff going on besides just the sacraments. And so like going and like pouring into that first and seeing what people you meet with that.
Yeah, I heard the advice, figure out where the need is at the parish, right? And then if there are other people that are also looking for that need, right, like you'll just align naturally.
Right.
Which, I don't know, I felt like that was really good advice because, starting a ministry is really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's way harder than you kind of realize, even when you recognize that it's harder than you think it's going to be, it's going to be like harder than that.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably not the solution for most of the problems. So I think that's great advice, you know, joining something that already exists.
And I would say go, even if you're hesitant to come to an event, like go and put yourself out there and go to multiple events. Just don't go to one event and say, okay, I tried it. That was it. Like Kathleen said, sometimes you go to these events and you go in with the mindset, I'm going to meet my people like right off the bat. Sure. And like, that's going to be it. But it's all about like making those connections, and like authentic friendships.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not necessarily going to happen right off the bat on one single event. Maybe it does.
And I've heard that so many times from people. Yeah. So, coming up in a week or so, we've got another group coming from the North Georgia Catholic Center. And every one of the girls, there were a number of them who were involved in my youth group before they went up there in high school. And every one of them who is now heavily involved in leadership and doing all of these things, they said, the first time I showed up, it was super awkward and I felt really weird. But I kind of made this commitment that I was going to get involved. And so I went back again. And then I kind of met somebody that I got along with a little bit. And I went back again. And now that's their community. That's their people. Mm-hmm. It's really cool.
Yeah.
I will say, mutual awkwardness is a great way to make friends.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, we don't deliberately make our events awkward. As Rachel said, we do a very good job to like try to not make them awkward.
Right.
But some awkwardness does creep in.
Of course.
But that's like, That's a great place for bonding.
Right. So on the other end of the spectrum, let's talk about ways not to do what you're doing. Let's talk about examples you've seen of poorly done attempts at community building, right? Things that if I were going off and I were trying to build something like this or build up something that's already existing at a parish or with my community, what should I absolutely not do? You can talk about things that have happened at CTK or other experiences that you've had.
I think something that you shouldn't do is do the same thing every single time.
Okay.
Right. We have an extremely diverse group. We have an extremely diverse group of age, of professions, of people from different places.
And how big
places.
Is the group in total? Sorry, like roughly.
Our email list is about 2,000.
Okay.
Open rate, like people are reading our emails, just under 1,000. And then people showing up to events, probably rotating through about 600 a year.
Oh, wow.
But on average, we're having between 30 and 75 at an event.
For each event. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Still
so it's a lot of turnover, but it's a lot of people.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So kind of going off of that. So we want to make sure that we can cater to as many people and get them either in front of the Lord or in community. So we may have an outside event, an indoor event next month, right? A physical event, a not physical event. You know, we're trying to mix it up so people, you know, let's say you're interested in hiking. Great. Next month we're doing beer and board games at a brewery.
Right.
Right. We want to make sure that we're covering our bases. So even if you're not interested in hiking, hey, next month, we'll come on over, you know, for a board game night.
Right.
Right. So we're making sure we're still catering to those people.
And I think kind of piggybacking off of what Rachel said, not doing the same thing all the time. I think it's really important to listen to the wants and the needs of the group. And, you know, if you have a bunch of people that say, hey, like, I'm really interested in board games, and then you just go to breweries every time, or you just go to the movies, then that's not serving the needs and the wants of your community. So I think that's really important.
Well, you can't base it around the comfort level of the people organizing all the time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's certain things I like and I feel like I'm good at and I've done before, I've rolled out, but that doesn't mean that's not everybody, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we have to go outside of our comfort zone if you're leading the ministry as well.
Yeah, and especially I think that can be really challenging, especially with smaller groups. We don't run into that as much because we're kind of so big and have so many like different people involved, like Rachel was saying, and our leadership team even, but in the whole ministry. But like in smaller parishes, it can be really hard if the group is like consistently like less than 10 people showing up to have like be a welcoming atmosphere for new people. And I think the group, because you're like really close friends at that point. If you're the 10 people that are going to everything and you're in the middle of nowhere and that's your people, it's natural to become close to each other.
Right.
But that sometimes makes people who are coming, like new people, really feel isolated because everyone else got all these inside jokes. Everyone else has been to each other's weddings. And then there's this new person.
How do you overcome that?
I think to be aware that it's happening. Mm-hmm. There's like, you can't deny that that's going to happen. And then also be very intentional about like doing one-on-one time with the new people too. Like, let's get coffee. Let's like go on a walk. Like, let's meet up instead of just like, oh, I'll see you at the next event. I'm going to see you at Jake's later. Okay. But like, I'll see you next week on Sunday, you know?
That's interesting. And I like how you said the one-on-one time, because it's about, we're trying to get you plugged in, to this community, but that only happens at least at a deep, authentic level with that personal connections with individuals.
I think something that we're doing that could help, you know, start a ministry in a smaller community is our coffee clubs. It's kind of new. We started 6-7 months ago, maybe. And, you know, people get on their email list and they have an option at the bottom of our newsletter. Mm-hmm. Hey, would you want to get one-on-one coffee with someone if you're new?
Okay.
Right. And that kind of creates that bridge of a one-on-one relationship. And also maybe they don't want to go to an event that has 40 people right off the bat. Right. That kind of that mutual awkwardness that Daniel was talking about. Right. That allows them to plug in. Hey, I have that one friendly face. I already met with them for coffee or Chipotle or whatever it is.
Sure.
Right. So when I go to that event, I can at least wait for them and sit by them.
That makes a ton of sense. Yeah. Absolutely. I think that's huge.
I think one of the other things that it's important to avoid is like biting off more than you can chew. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people will like look at, you know, what CTK has. And, you know, we are really blessed with years of an excellent program and wonderful people leading. And people will kind of look at that and say like, oh, well, how hard can that be? They do service events, they do social events, they do this, they get adoration. Like, We can build something similar to that. And it's like, start with one thing, you know, instead of trying to do six things and do them all poorly, like focus in on one thing that you're doing. And I guess that kind of runs counter to, you need to make sure that that one thing is right. Like, you need to be listening to the people that are involved in your group. Mm-hmm. But I think that what a lot of people can run into is like splitting their efforts and not doing anything well because they're just trying to do too many things.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That makes a whole lot of sense. That growth should be organic, right? It tends to do well when it's organic as opposed to forced. And I think also the acknowledgement that one human being, right, going back to the leader, they can't, like, you're not good at everything, right? You're good at lots of things. You're not good at everything, yeah. Right?
And that's also why burnout is such a big thing in young adult groups. Mm-hmm. You see other young adult groups pop up at parishes and go very strongly for like 7-8 months and then they're just gone.
Right.
Because the leaders get burned out and the people who are coming see how much work they're doing and they're like, I don't want to step in and do that. Which is understandable because especially at those small groups starting out, being the leader of that is a lot of work. It's a lot of work. But like Daniel was saying, like, be reasonable in your expectations. Like, but also there's a good thing in like consistency. So like do an event every month or every other month. And like, it doesn't matter like what the event is, but like commit to something that you can manage, but also you have to do it with some consistency.
No, I dig it. I think it makes a lot of sense. I wish we could, I feel like we could have another couple of hours where we talk about this. But we've got about 5 more minutes. How many, what's the time check, producer Ben?
We are currently at 24 out of 27 minutes. So we got almost exactly.
I can't do math. So we're going to go with about 5 more minutes and we're going to move forward.
Three minutes. You can go over if you'd like.
Dan can't count.
Yeah.
Right. But Dan's not here.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
We can count over three.
We got a recurring joke. This guy named Dan, who's on the show a lot, can't count over three. And he's owned it. Like, he's the one who brought it up. And it's super dumb. See, this is what happens when we have inside jokes and then new people show up and then they feel like they're not included, producer Ben.
We should just stop having new people. It's just us.
Just me talking to producer Ben. While Benedict hums the Golden Girls theme song in the back. Okay, right. What did we say? How many followers? How many subscribers?
161.
You got it.
161.
Maybe we can do a double leg shave while Benedict sings a Golden Girls theme song. Dude,
there it is. That's
game.
That's the episode.
All right, so we're going to go through here, pick a question, pick your favorite, and don't do that. There's some lazy ones. Don't do a lazy one. I've got, what is your favorite dessert? Nobody cares. You don't care what my favorite dessert is. But you also don't have to go with, who would you never trust, or what's your deepest secret? Like, you don't have to do those either, but pick a good one. I'll start. This one's kind of lazy, but I'm going to do it anyway. What is the most exciting movie that you have ever seen? Okay, are you ready? Now, I'm not saying good.
Exciting.
I'm not saying good. I'm not saying well done. I'm saying exciting. Have y'all seen the movie RRR on Netflix?
Nope.
Let me paint you a picture. We're putting that in the show notes. RRR. I don't know what RRR stands for. It's a Bollywood movie about these two guys in India in the 1920s when it was occupied by the British. And you got to see this movie, Ben.
I've seen clips.
It is the most ridiculous, over-the-top, awesome film I've ever seen. There's no, like, weird Hollywood, like, political leanings or anything.
It's just bonkers action.
Ridiculous. And there's, like, good guys and bad guys. And this guy's evil because he's evil, because people are evil. Like, it's like a Saruman kind of thing, but way less deep.
Kind of like jumps off a bridge, wraps himself in a flag.
Just like blatant Indian propaganda, like for like Indian patriotism, but it's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. So,
movie night tonight, everybody at CGK. RRR!
It's about 3 hours more long. It's on Netflix. I can give you my mom's Netflix account if you want it. I still use that one. But RRR, check it out. Joe, you're up, brother.
Wow. So my question on here is, what would you buy if you could buy any one thing in an electronics store? So I actually did buy this when I was younger. I saved up my allowance and bought a metal detector.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. Because I was hell-bent that I was going to find treasures in the backyard.
Did you?
I did not.
No treasure,
I found
man.
Some, like, chicken wire. I found, like, some, like, aluminum that I thought was part of an airplane that, crashed.
But definitely was.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
A UFO.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But,
that makes sense. That's cool. I dig it. Yeah.
So I'm going to take, what is the first thing you do when you get home from school? So I'm no longer attending school, but when I was attending school, I would get home and for some reason I would watch, the Retro Television Network. So my parents didn't have, we didn't have cable when I was growing up. And that was like one of the few channels was like reruns of old shows like cool. MASH, yeah. Hogan's Heroes. Those were like two of my favorites. So I couldn't really relate to all the kids at school who were quoting SpongeBob and stuff right. like that. But I would be like, oh, but did you see the latest episode of MASH? they hadn't seen it.
Yeah, that's fair.
My question is, who or what is way too popular? And I might get kicked out for this, but college football is way
I just ranted about college football on the last show, actually. Obsession with football. I just went off on it.
College football.
Yeah. I like it. I'm a fan.
No, but. Not. I mean, I see the benefits, but I also don't see why we have to plan things around that weekend because so-and-so is playing so-and-so and we can't do anything the whole day because, or like people are like watching on their phones during weddings and.
Joe gets it.
I get it.
Ugh.
Yeah.
No.
I think it absolutely becomes overdone a lot. I think it absolutely becomes an idol to some people. But I mean, I coached football. I'm big into football. But I've had to pull myself back significantly. Like had like meetings with myself in the mirror about this is not actually important. Like even, and it was pro ball is even worse because it's just like, go team that's geographically closer to me. And I get it. Like you grow up watching with your parents and stuff, but still it can get obsessive and that's dangerous.
Right. I agree. So my question is, what's the best thing about being really tall? Which is really fitting.
Was it actually the question?
Yep. And that fits because I'm almost 6'2", and we're a rare breed, the girls that are over right. like 5'5". So I think the best thing about being really tall is being able to reach really tall things.
It
makes sense, you know, getting mugs off the top, mm-hmm. you know. Top countertop, stuff like that.
I like that. That's convenient. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
You know, grocery use to your kitchen, honestly.
Yeah. You know, seeing over grocery store or like CVS aisles, that's mm-hmm. really nice.
Do you wear heels?
I do wear heels.
Good. It always bothered. I was gonna scold you, stranger, mm-hmm. who I just met 20 minutes ago on air, if you didn't, because it always kills me when girls say, "No, I'm too tall to wear heels." It's like, no, I'm sorry. If he can't get over the fact that he's not as tall as you in heels, then that's his problem.
Yeah, my fiance is 6'6", so he will always.
So it works out.
It does.
And your kids are gonna be huge. Yeah, that's cool.
They're gonna, if they don't play basketball, we've done something wrong.
That's cool. And for the first time, I'm gonna ask Ben. Because the show's run smoothly and we've mm-hmm. had no yep. AV issues. Producer Ben, here's a question you haven't read before.
I have not read this question before, John Henry, so I'm going to read this question now.
I look
now.
Forward to knowing what it is because I've never
the
heard it.
The question is, if somebody was spying on you, what embarrassing fact would they discover? This is the first time I'm
question.
Seeing this question, so I'm now going to meditate
Think
over
fast.
It. The weirdest thing they would discover, I feel, would be my knees. Just because they look weird. And I am, when I'm just laying around, I don't think about the fact that other people are going to see my knees. So right. I just kind of let them do what they will.
And what will they do, Ben?
I make a conscious effort to bend my knees in a certain way when I'm around people. And when not, they just
I'm
kind of
horrified.
Bow out like
I'm really
this.
Okay. Mad that we have a table right now. I really want to
That's all I'm looking at is the knees.
It's okay, they look normal right now because I can think about it.
Well, now that you gave us some context, it makes more sense. But at first, it sounded very like some Lovecraftian like horror.
You know, it may be yeah. from someone else's perspective.
Okay. All mm-hmm. right. Well, I like it. And I think that's an excellent way to end the show. This second installment today was brought to you by Ben Barron's knees. Yes. Which you might even get to see if he shaves his legs mm-hmm. with his Legend of Zelda sword. If we get our subscriber numbers up. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you so much for being here. Y'all, big shout out to the Christ the King 2030 somethings group. We will be posting about them in the show notes. Thanks for listening.
This has been Honest to God, What's on Your Mind? A show for young adults by young adults on AM 1160, The Quest.